You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If my eyes don't deceive me, I believe that I'm currently reading an article saying how the Buffalo Bills, who have been slammed everywhere in the National Football League for giving up a first-round pick, for getting the short end of the LeSean McCoy trade, are now being praised for how smart they're being because they are mortgaging a future for the short term, and are even being praised for getting Matt Cassel, because Matt Cassel, if he came to the Browns, would be viewed by as such a prize by these same people. I cannot believe that people are being so short-sighted that we're writing articles about the Buffalo Bills, who are literally being panned everywhere in the NFL as being strategically incompetent, and we're writing articles about how much smarter they are than what the Browns are doing. Give me a break, people. Please, for the love of God, let's get some perspective around here. And you can call me a shill. I don't care. Yeah, the Browns signed my checks. I don't care about that. They don't come in here and tell me what to say. This is facts. It's just rational human being thought. That's all I'm trying to have. 216-578-0850. Nick in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on.
You got
not a fun day as a Browns fan, in my opinion.
Today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Because today is a new day.
Probably all of 2015, okay? First of all, I just want to say one quick jab at them. I think they're the first team in NFL history to covet the compensatory pick, okay? They're losing more players than they're gaining.
That's not true.
Okay, explain to me something.
Who are the teams that have had the most compensatory picks since they've introduced the program in NFL history?
Sure,
can you name
it
the three teams?
Baltimore and stuff like that.
Baltimore,
absolutely.
New England, and Green Bay.
Okay, so
are they good? Are
they
good teams?
Can they draft?
You don't think that the Browns ultimately overall had a good draft last year?
No, I do not. I mean, they missed on their two first-round picks.
So Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, I don't even know why they bother putting on helmets anymore. Their careers are over. They're useless. That seems like a rational way to look at it. What about Joel Bitonio?
When you think about what they did, they passed up on need at wide receiver. And they could have had any one of those.
I would
receivers.
Like us to get a wide receiver. I've never said
Mike
any
Evans
different.
And Odell Beckham Jr. Okay? They could have came out with two star receivers. They came out with none. In a draft that had 10 receivers that were good last year, we had zero. Okay? I don't trust these guys when it comes to picks, and they're going to try to tell me that we're going to build through the draft when they can't even draft.
Let me ask you a question. How many rookie contributors would you expect to be in a reasonable number on a year for a team?
If you have two first-round picks, I expect one to at least
play I'm just talking
more
about
than
in
10%
whole,
of the plays.
As a whole, how many people that are rookies would you expect to make significant contributions to an NFL team in a given year?
In the first
half.
Three rounds, I expect all of them to contribute.
Because that happens on every team in the NFL?
How about this?
All right, is Bitonio, if you drafted again, would Bitonio be a first-round pick if you redrafted last year? Yes, right?
Yeah, Bitonio was a great pick. But you know what? He doesn't score points. We're getting guys that don't score points for this team. It doesn't help. By the time the Browns are any bit good, Joe Thomas will be at the end of his career. Joe Hayden will be on his way out or at the end of his career. I don't trust the way this is working out. And again, what we're seeing these guys increase season ticket costs. What I think he should do is the money he's saving from his operating costs for the team is he should give a rebate to the fans in terms of a bar tab in Cleveland, because this is outrageous.
He did just put $125 million into the stadium.
I'm pretty sure you guys are going to get a bar tab. All right. Anyway, listen. You look at the draft from last year and add in undrafted free agents. So that's all the scouting department, the talent that Ray Farmer brought in. I think it's very premature to write off Justin Gilbert. I think it's very premature to write off Johnny Manziel. I'm not the only person who thinks that, by the way. Pete Prisco wrote an article about that as well. Many people share that opinion.
Is Pete
that
from
it's
Cleveland?
Ludicrous. So, and no, he is not from
Cleveland.
Is
he a Browns fan?
No, he's not.
Okay. Just want to make that clear.
Joel Bitonio, starter. Probably you could argue that he could have gone to the Pro Bowl last year. You've got in the third round, you got Chris Kirksey, who's going to be, I think, a longtime starter at inside linebacker. You also got Terrence West. So Terrence West was a starter for the team for a lot of the season, in tandem with Isaiah Crowell, who's an undrafted free agent, who was also a rookie last year. The Browns, in fact, had two rookie running backs rush for more than 600 yards for the first time since the team did it in 1964, I believe, the San Diego Chargers. Offensive linemen may not score points. They may not be sexy, but they're foundation pieces of building. I'm pretty sure that the Dallas Cowboys are happy they drafted Zach Martin last year, who helped DeMarco Murray go on to that great season. Do the Browns need playmakers? Yes. Do if you go back in time, do you think if you were the Browns and you could do it over again, do you wish that you had gone maybe Odell Beckham and then come back with Teddy Bridgewater? Yeah, but you didn't. That doesn't mean that you're not going to get anything out of Gilbert and Manziel as first-round picks. Betonio's a starter. Kirksey's a starter. I think Pierre Desir is going to be a heck of a player. Kaywan Williams was such a good slot corner at such a cheap price that he did in some way help make a guy like Buster Skrine expendable in the sense that you're still in a great place with your defensive backfield, and you got Taylor Gabriel who went over 600 yards receiving himself. So I think overall the talent influx via the draft last year was significant. If you listen around, watch ESPN. I know you guys do. Bill Polian, the best drafters in the league hit on 50% of the picks. So why do the good teams load up on compensatory picks? Because it's more swings at the plate. That's what you want. If you really break it down from a statistical regression, there isn't a lot of difference between the best GM and the worst GM in the National Football League. But what you want to do is increase your opportunities at success, and I think that's what the Browns have done. And I think when you go ahead and you try to focus everything just in the short term, you're missing the point. And I get it. Listen, I get it. I've lived here in Cleveland basically for this entire period since the team has been back. And I get it. It is awful. I grew up in San Francisco. I was fortunate enough to get to watch I got to watch Joe Montana and the 49ers win. And I know this city, more than any city that I've ever been in, deserves a winner. That's what they deserve. That's what you all do deserve. But at the same time, you want continuity. You haven't. Nobody's even really been given a chance to build that winner here. And I think Mike Pettine's a heck of a football coach. And I think if you overall assess Ray Farmer, I think you'd be happy with what he can do as a talent evaluator. Look what he did in free agency last year. The roster was better. I think you've got to at least give, and I know, but why would we have any faith? It's been the same thing for 15 years. At least give them an opportunity. The offseason's not even over. You haven't seen what they've done to this roster with 10 draft picks, 2 in the first round. You haven't seen what they've done in free agency. Free agency's not over. The Browns aren't going through free agency and saying we're signing no one. It's not over yet. What they didn't do is jump in and overspend. I think you'll be happy, ultimately, that they were able to retain that money when they have guys that they want to extend, like a Tashaun Gibson, who certainly has looked worthy. Perhaps a Craig Robertson, a John Hughes, guys who are in the building that they feel fit what they're trying to do. Free agency is a two-way street. The Browns, I think, are going to be judicious with that. It's just interesting to me that all of a sudden it does seem when you're writing articles that are about the Buffalo Bills, who NFL people, this isn't me, this is not my opinion, just go Google search it. NFL people are saying what the Buffalo Bills are doing is not a judicious way to run an organization. That's not a judicious thing to do in terms of building an overall winner. And now you're going to come kill the Browns for that? Ultimately, we all just want the same thing, the Browns to win. That's it. That's all you want. At least that's what I would like to see the Browns do. And hopefully, Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine get an opportunity to build that out with the time, you know, we want. That's what we want to see. Anyway, that's that. 216-578-0850. Matt in Columbus, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, man.
Thanks for talking some sense into some of these people today. I think, you know, this all starts with how the season ended and everybody's emotions regarding the end of the, you know, all the losses and then how poorly Johnny performed and then the whole text gate. And people were just waiting to jump off the deep end yesterday when we didn't sign anybody. But in realistic, we're looking at, you know, free agency has been open for less than 24 hours. And they came into it. They said they weren't going to be big players in free agency. They were going to get the right players at the right price. And the market has to kind of settle and play out before they can even determine what that price is. And just because people and the fans and the media aren't hearing about who they may be involved with, they assume that the Browns are just sitting on their hands, when in fact this organization has always talked about how they don't like leaks getting out and how they're probably going to be quiet about a lot of their plans. And, you know, my question is, who did they want us to sign yesterday? You look at the big signings. And
that's what I would like to know. Yeah. Who would you wanted the Browns to go after hard early in free agency? I'm just curious about that.
Absolutely.
I appreciate the call very much, Matt. When we come back, we'll take more calls, 216-578-0850. Let us know. Let me know what you think. You know, what would you have done? Seriously, what would you have done? Let us know, 216-578-0850. Zagur and Wilhelm on a very raucous edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.